This is Unexpected with Hannah Love. In this podcast, you will gain a new perspective of how God loves you enough to call you to things that you couldn't have imagined for yourself. I don't know about you, but as a mom, I understand that names are so important. It's funny, too, because when you start having babies and you work on your names list, you will always eliminate the ones that you know personally. Like if you went to school with someone with that name or even had a bad run-in with someone with that name, it's totally off the table. There are other names that you may like, but then you look up the meaning, and this is where I confess that I'm a huge advocate of knowing what a name means. Honestly, there have been some really cute names that I have been really sad about because once you look up the meaning, it's not so cute. Now, remember how much I also love talking about the power of words? Well, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and the words that we speak are either giving life or they're deadly. That same principle applies to a name. So, if, for instance, you're wanting to name your child something and the meaning is negative, I would totally avoid that. Thinking about it, you are calling that child by name every day of their life, essentially prophesying over them. Hannah, my name, means grace, and my husband's name, Shay, means a gift, usually offered in homage. All good things, thankfully. Anyway, you may be wondering why I'm rambling on about names. Well, I do have a point. It is actually a pretty common theme in the Bible for people to be renamed. This either happens after an encounter with the Lord or when they are put on assignment. So anytime someone is given a new name in the Bible, just know that it is indicative of a major life change. Sometimes it feels like that's even what it would take in our own lives. A major change, a fresh start, an encounter or an assignment. Today, I want to share the story of a man in the Bible whose life was radically transformed. He was made new, redeemed, forgiven, renamed, and set on assignment. This man's name was Paul. I'll begin reading in Acts 9, verses 1 through 22. During those days, Saul, full of angry threats and rage, wanted to murder the disciples of the Lord Jesus. So he went to ask the high priest and requested a letter of authorization he could take to the Jewish leaders in Damascus, requesting their cooperation in finding and arresting any who were followers of the way. Saul wanted to capture all of the believers he found, both men and women, and drag them as prisoners back to Jerusalem. So he obtained the authorization and left for Damascus. Just outside the city, a brilliant light flashing from heaven suddenly exploded all around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a booming voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" The men accompanying Saul were stunned and speechless, for they heard the heavenly voice but could see no one. Saul replied, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, the victorious, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city where you will be told what you are to do." Saul stood to his feet, and even though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. He was blind. So the men had to take him by the hand and lead him into Damascus. For 3 days, he didn't eat or drink and couldn't see a thing. Living in Damascus was a believer named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling his name, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," Ananias answered. The Lord said, "Go at once to the street called Abundance and look for a man from Tarsus named Saul. You will find him at Judah's house." While he was praying, he saw in a supernatural vision a man named Ananias coming to lay hands upon him and restore his sight. "But Lord," Ananias replied, "many have told me about this terrible persecution of those in Jerusalem who are devoted to you. In fact, the high priest has authorized him to seize and imprison all those in Damascus who call on your name." The Lord Yahweh answered him, "Arise and go. I have chosen this man to be my special messenger. He will be brought before kings, before many nations, and before the Jewish people to give them the revelation of who I am, and I will show him how much he is destined to suffer because of his passion for me. Ananias left and found the house where Saul was staying. He went inside and laid hands on him, saying, "Saul, my brother, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me to pray for you so that you might see again and be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit." All at once, the crusty substance that was over Saul's eyes disappeared and he could see perfectly. Immediately, he got up and was baptized. After eating a meal, his strength returned. Within the hour, he was in the synagogues preaching about Jesus and proclaiming, "Jesus is the Son of God." Those who heard him were astonished, saying among themselves, "Isn't this the Saul who furiously persecuted those in Jerusalem who called on the name of Jesus? Didn't he come here with permission from the high priest to drag them off and take them as prisoners?" Saul's power increased greatly as he became more and more proficient in proving that Jesus was the anointed Messiah. Saul remained there for several days with the disciples, even though it agitated the Jews of Damascus. Sometimes I think that our own familiarity with the Bible and the stories of the people in them makes us miss how profound these moments truly were. Many, if not most of you, have heard the story of Paul in the Bible. It's not likely you'll remember him as his old self, Saul, the Pharisee, the bounty hunter, the murderer. No. We instead think of the great apostle responsible for spreading the gospel all around the ancient world. The man who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and the man who endured countless trials, considering it all joy for the Lord. And why? Why was this one man able to make such an impact for the kingdom of God? Because he was given a new name. He was put on assignment and he obeyed. God met Saul on that road. He met him where he was. God met him and asked him what he was doing. He asked him why he was persecuting him. And guys, can I tell you something? Sometimes that's exactly what it takes for us too. Sometimes it takes God stopping us, meeting us where we are, in the mess we are in, with the sin that we carry, asking us what we are doing. Sometimes it takes a radical encounter with God to make us know, really know how real He is. Can I tell you something else? To know God is to experience Him. Not just to read about Him or about what He's done. This is the place where our lives will change. This is the place of freedom, healing, redemption, and restoration. This is the place He renames us, forgetting the old man and every sin, replacing it with the new name, the new man, and the assignment He has ready for us. Now listen, I'm not asking anyone to go out and get a legal name change. Today, I'm actually going to pray a prayer over each of you, that God will reveal to you what He truly has for you. I'm praying God gives you your assignment. Once you surrender your old man to God, He will redirect your course. Don't let the enemy whisper doubts or sling shame. There's this beautiful reminder in Micah 7 that I love. It says, "Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of His inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sin underfoot and hurl all of our iniquities into the depths of the sea." There's another translation that reads, "He will cast our sins into the sea of forgetfulness." Meaning, once we ask for forgiveness, God throws away our sin and never remembers it again. Guys, don't make the mistake of thinking that God holds your past over your head. You are a new man, and you are called on assignment, friends. Just remember Paul. He went from hunting down Christ followers and murdering them to becoming one of them and leading countless into God's kingdom for the remainder of his new life. And today, I wanted to end with this last quote from someone unknown. It says, "The Apostle Paul entered heaven to the cheers of those he martyred, because that's how the gospel works." How powerful is that? That is the redemptive picture of the gospel. May this be a reminder to ask God for a new name, a new assignment, and chase it with the boldness of one who has a clean slate for the kingdom. I love y'all, and I hope that this has been a reminder that you needed today. Have a great week. Thank you so much for listening today. If this episode has encouraged you, please feel free to share this show with your family and friends. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world today, and my hope is that this show is a candle in the dark.